This week on the Interesting Car Show, we talk about
BMW's badging dynamics,
some interesting news from Korea,
the Plymouth Prowler, it's fucking hideous,
and why they should bring back the Dodge Viper.
It's David's favorite car. Stay tuned.
Jag åkte ner till Stockholm och då fick jag se glänsande Porsche och BMW. Men jag har en kärra som är bättre än då, det är en Volvo 142.
So our original mic setup was just a single mic set on like a setting used for like two people sitting across from each other. But then later on, a few episodes in, I got a second mic for reasons that actually I think I talked about it on that podcast. I got a second mic because I forgot the first.
You're just like, I'll buy another one.
And I was just like, I'll buy another one.
God, what a
But then I was like, we needed one anyway, so there. But now the one that I just bought, it broke on me, just like all of a sudden, like the cable, not the cable, but the plug broke and so on.
Shout out to Blue.
I know. The thing is, I really like this mic, and this one's been working for so long.
I know, this one's good, you can tell.
I wouldn't blame Blue, I'd blame GameStop first, because...
It's GameStop? Just because it's GameStop?
It probably had nothing to do with it.
I like how you got that from GameStop. I just find that hilarious.
Yeah, they just have them. Yeah, I was like, do you have, like, mics there, like Blue mics? And he was like, yeah, but we just got the Yeti. I was like, perfect. That's fine. I like the Yeti. Anyway. We were talking about Porsches earlier.
I want a Porsche.
You want a 911?
I want a 911. I want a 996.
Okay.
Because no one likes them, and they're fairly inexpensive for what they are.
Yeah. I mean, they're good cars for sure, for the money.
That's all I have to offer on this one. I'm just kidding. No, but David and I were, like, talking forever, because I keep pulling it up. And I know we talked last week about the 818, the factory 5.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, mid-engine, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then it's like, value for money, though. It's like, you could get it, build it, and it'd be great, but it is a lot of money for what it is. And then you could get a Porsche for, like, same, if not less money, and then you end up with a Porsche.
Yeah.
Which is, like, in itself kind of cool. I don't know, but like you said, I don't know if I'm a Porsche guy or whatever.
I don't know. I feel like I want to drive a Porsche at some point. Just to, like, know what it's about. Because I feel like there's definitely Porsche guys. That, like, that's their thing.
They go, ooh, the...
They aren't even car guys. They're Porsche guys.
Yeah, they're their own... It's like Subaru people, you know?
Yeah, their own breed.
They have their own thing. They go play golf on the weekend. They talk about their 911s. And then people with Subarus go to car parking lots too late at night and vape.
It's
one and the same.
It's weird to me, because in my mind, I know this is totally not like how Porsche is anymore, but in my mind, Porsche makes one car, the 911, and anything else that they make is just extra.
But now,
but in reality, it's like
they're
not
an SUV company. They're an SUV who company makes a sports car that people car kind of like sometimes.
Although I would say, although like, you know, if a 911 and like a Cayman were like next to each other, I'd definitely choose a 911, right?
Yeah, they're
the same price. But I kind of like the mid-engine one's better, just because I think that's interesting.
But 60K, David, for a Porsche that's not a 911.
No, but I wouldn't pay it for a new one.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd buy a used one.
It's also not even called a Cayman, it's called a 718.
I know, but...
What a sexy name.
Not gonna do that.
No, I know.
Something you said earlier, you were like, I'm not sure quite how you worded it, but it's like, oh, we were talking about that Porsche 944.
Yes.
We were saying that there's so many of them on Craigslist and OfferUp because people get them and they're like, yeah. And then they realize, like, man,
what did I do?
Like, why did I buy this?
I mean, they're very cool, but
they're cool. And it's like a lot of people say they're like kind of like a Miata before the Miata was out.
Yeah.
Because they're just like a fun, like, everyman sports car and stuff. But it's like, if you could buy a Miata, you might as well, because they're just like...
Yeah, I do imagine people get a 944 and they go, wow, something that's not a Miata, cool, not a RX-7 or whatever else out at the time, and then they go, okay, you know, like it's a slow Porsche.
Yeah, and then it's...
They're cool, it's just a super, it shares super Beetle parts and that kind of thing.
You were saying how you, like, how you felt that same way about some cars you had and you brought up your Fiat in particular? The thing is, I mean, I agree and I disagree. It's like, you know, you have a car and then you're like, eh, whatever, and then you move on.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that shouldn't be looked down upon, because I was like, I bought the Fiesta, and I mean, I still like that car, but I wouldn't buy anything... I probably wouldn't buy something like that again, personally.
No, yeah.
But it's like, I wanted to have the experience at the time.
Yeah, same.
And I think that is like, there's certain cars that I don't want to, like, own and hold on to forever, but I just want to own at some point to have the experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you do that, if you do it good enough and you buy one with problems, fix it, and then you end up being able to sell it for at least what you got into it, you're kind of even money at the end of the day, year, however long you have it. And, like, that's nice, too. That Lexus I had was great. Mm-hmm. Just because I just realized, like, I don't want this right now. Also, it needed a lot of work, and I was just like, eh. Like, it's not perfect and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I still really want an LS400. I mentioned that countless times on here. And so have you and that whole thing. But, like, I don't know. We'll see. A Porsche could be cool, but I don't know if I want to spend that much money.
As much as I want, like, an LS400, and that's, like, a great commuter car and just, like, you know, just a regular-ass car, I think I would just go with, like, a slightly newer IS because I think it'd give me less problems. Even though the 1EZ and the LS400 generally is, like, really solidly built and stuff, it's just they're older now.
True.
And so it's, like, I feel like an IS would fill that spot better. And, I mean, you could get, like, a later LS, but I don't know, I just didn't like the look of them as much, and I like the look of the IS a lot better.
Watch the segue. Speaking of cars you might want to daily drive, the new Kia Optima is coming out.
Wow.
But it's not interesting in its own right. I think it looks really good. It looks like some Peugeots. Like,
I know the Kia...
The Optima's a Sonata. Same car.
Okay.
And it's got its own design stuff. They're changing it up. I think it looks really good. Go look it up in your own time. However, what they are also changing, I don't know if it's because they did a big redesign and they're trying to kind of, not upmarket, but kind of sportify the brand, as they're calling it what they call it overseas and everywhere else, which is the K5.
Okay.
So it's a Kia K5. Because all their other ones are like K and a number. Like, right. Hyundai is like I-10, I-30, I-20, kind of thing, which we don't get in the States. Those of you abroad know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's an I-30 is like an Elantra here. And, you know, the car companies will change names based on, like, how the previous one did. You know, that whole kind of thing. Where it's like, the reason we don't have a Chevrolet Aveo anymore is because the Aveo was shit. Even though Chevy Spark's, like, the same car, just newer. Mm-hmm. They just changed the name. You know, it's that kind of thing. So I don't know where they're really going for that. So we'll see how that goes. But
I just... a friend of ours is talking about, like, shitting on, like, a Kia that drove past. They were like, yeah, I feel like Kia drivers are just, like, the shittiest, and the Kias are shit.
I think you'll find it's Nissan, but yeah, carry on.
I know, but it's like that's what Kia's... I mean, we've talked about this countless times before, how, like, Kia's trying to change their brand and stuff, and change their, like, reputation, because they did make kind of shitty cars in the past, you know, let's be honest. But now they've gotten a lot better, and that's a good point. It's probably part of that. They're probably trying to move away from the old Optimism, what people saw them as.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that they're like the K5, it's like, okay, this is Kia's, like, fresh start, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so, then Sonata sells so many. Like, Hyundai sells so many Sonatas, it's not a problem, I don't think. So I think that's probably why they kept that, people like it. The other thing was, like, I know we mentioned this before, I don't remember if it was last time we recorded or before that. Things are kind of getting uploaded quickly because we're trying to catch back up with ourselves. But you remember that thing I mentioned? Kia Hyundai is working on a clutchless manual, or a manual transmission, where it's like there's no clutch pedal. I don't know if I made that clear because I was confused on it, but I looked more into it, like, more news did come out, and it doesn't have a clutch pedal.
Okay.
But it has this normal, like, gated 6-speed shifter type thing, and it has what's, I love the name of this, it has what's called an intention sensor.
A what?
An intention sensor.
Intention
sensor. I think what that means is you touch the stick and it goes, they're probably about to change gear. And then it moves the clutch.
Why can't they just call it a force sensor like everybody else?
I don't know. I just like the name of that. But it has no clutch pedal. It does have a clutch. And it has a gas and a brake pedal. And it has a normal gated shifter. So, what it sounds a lot like to me is a normal, like, SMG, the semi-manual gearbox, whatever. I know that's what BMW called it and whatever. Yeah. But it was like they had that, and then we're like, we're going to call it something else and just change the shifters. Instead of, like, a ratchet thing, it's whatever else.
Yeah. I mean, like, the automated manual thing, the SMG, that, like, what BMW had, it's, I mean, I think it's like that, but it's like, we don't want to spend the money putting all the servos and other crap to move around the shifter, so you're going to do that part.
Yeah.
We're just going to do the clutch for you.
It's, I don't know. Weird. I don't know. It's, again, an Indian thing, and speaking of, like, okay, so I was reading about this, and it's like, India, like, it's a big market. It's starting to even, you know, gain more and more speed, you know, and it has been for some time, and, like, that's slated in that market, so maybe that's what they want. Like, we weren't sure, and I don't think a lot of people are sure if we're gonna get one here, because it's a car we don't have here. I think it was called, like, the Hyundai Venue or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know if we have that here yet, But maybe we do now. I'm not actually sure, but it doesn't really matter. It's a little crossover thing. But then they're also selling, I think as of right now, I don't know when it's going to come out. I know there's some concept photos going around, but a Toyota Corolla Cross.
Okay.
Which is it's just like an SUV version. It doesn't really look like the Corolla, but it's again slated for the Indian market.
Interesting.
So I guess that's...
Are they not bringing it here?
I don't know. It's like, this is like stuff I've just read about.
Replace the Corolla here.
I don't think it will, just because they sell so many of those, yeah. And you see them everywhere, and everyone buys one. That and the Camry. Mm-hmm. Like, those are... I mean, yeah. The Highlander, the other stuff they make is good. You know, they're all reliable cars, and there are a lot of them on the road. But I don't... We'll see what that comes from. I don't think they have... Like, we have a RAV4. I don't know why they need a small crossover. Unless they want one that's smaller than that. But then they have the CHR, which is like Toyota's answer to the lovely, lovely Juke. What a great car. You know, that kind of thing.
It's now the Kicks. Excuse me.
Dude. Oh, yeah. David and I rode around on the back of a rental Nissan Altima this weekend. And it'd be great if we had a mic. Just because we thought it was funny. But, I mean, the day started... we were going to look at houses. It's very boring stuff. It doesn't really matter. But, like... Someone had their car's in the shop. They were given a brand new Altima rental car. And then it was just, I pulled up in the driveway and I think I texted. I said, why is this here? Or something like that. Because I was just annoyed. And then we sat in the back of it. And it's one of those things where, and I didn't say it, but David said it, but we're looking at the plastics in the back. And it was like, David said, I think David was like it's made out of the plastic that a milk carton is made out of
plastic, like milk jugs, yeah. Like that white, like
like opaque shit. It was the dome light.
It was just like this frosted white, and I was just like, man, this is. I mean, it wasn't quite like that, but it was like if they white. Doubled that over, you know?
Yeah, if they just folded it, kind of melted it, made it smooth, which is like,
oh god.
I mean, it's fine. It's a car. Someone will buy it. It doesn't matter. The other thing that pissed me off about it is I was like, who cares? Like, it's just a car. It's a base model car. And honestly, for a base model car, it's decently well equipped. However, no rear AC, which I thought was odd. My Golf has that. Maybe that's just me being like, but in Texas, you kind of need that.
Yeah.
And then what was the other thing? It had the only other... Okay, a lot of problems with this car. My favorite is still the one that... Nissan seems to do a lot of this, but other car companies I know probably do it too. It's just like my favorite thing of the whole... Oh, you're able to afford this nicer car. So what we're going to do is we're going to upgrade the matte plastic to glossy plastic. And, like, that's a thing in trim levels. Like, I just think that's hilarious. But aside from that, it has a CVT, which all Nissans have, but it has fake shift points.
Yeah.
What's the point?
No, I know. I think I was driving my mom's car, another Altima, but an older one. And, again, like, fake, like, shift points. It sounds like it's shifting. And it's, like... I don't know if it does it just when you're on it, so you can be like, yeah, it's shifting.
Yeah.
It's weird to me. I don't know why they bother. Maybe it's something to do with, like, changing the ratios under load or something. So they're waiting, so they take it off load for a second and then change the ratio and go back. But it's like, that's what a regular transmission
is. Yeah, which is like, you've got two belts and two clutches. Why don't you just use them like they were intended to be used? The company astounds me. They used to do really cool shit. I really, like I've said, I like the 350Z.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of after that, the 350 came out, GTR, wow. And then I don't know what happened. Everything, lost the plot.
Everybody was like, hell yeah. And then they were like, okay, cool. We're done for the next, like, 20 years. We're just going to keep on doing this.
And, okay, let's move on from Nissan, because I do this every single fucking week. I mean, even I'm getting tired of it. But, again, just, you know, look out on the road. Just not admire them. Just observe them and see their driving, let's call it prowess, even though it isn't. Other car news, we'll just stick in this while we're here. Okay, speaking of like shift points and stuff like that, so the new M4 is coming.
Okay.
The world rejoice, even though the front of it's really ugly. But I don't know, maybe it'll grow on me. It probably will. Which kind of annoys me. Nonetheless, they are putting a proper 6-speed manual in it. Good.
Nice.
And I saw it was a video from BMW themselves of some guy just driving around the track, and it was all camouflage and stuff, but like, and I know you talked about it, and I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast, but the rev hang was insane. It was crazy amount of rev hang.
I watched a video about like why modern cars have rev hang and stuff, and it's like, it's again, it's like emission stuff, because you create like the most emissions when you're rapidly closing and opening the throttle.
Yeah.
And so it's like it makes it hang, so it doesn't do that, so it doesn't cause like a change in like the richness of the fuel too quickly.
Yeah, I just was like,
God, in a manual, I can't even imagine. It's just like,
It was that slow. And it was really crazy. I just hadn't seen.
You're not
gonna
wait for it if you're driving quickly, or even if you're driving normally, you're not gonna wait for it, and then you're constantly gonna have a jerk because
your engine.
Because the engine has to like slow down really quickly.
And I feel like I'm thinking back to the Gen Coupe I had. That one dropped pretty quickly. It was also naturally aspirated and it was an older design. But I think that might maybe in the long term, maybe that's why it had such poor fuel economy. Because it was it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
It was also like a big almost 4-liter V6. More news from Korea, going back to Hyundai here, just jumping around here. The new Elantra came out.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's not polarizing, it's different. And I don't like the one they had, the newest one, the one I think, I don't know if the new one's out yet, but I know the one they've had for past couple years, I think it's a good looking car, and then they facelifted it and had just this weird triangle face, and it just didn't look as good as the pre-facelift. But the new one's coming out and you can kind of see where they were taking the design, because you know normally they try to facelift a car so it matches the new car a bit more, so it's not just a big changeover and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's really cool looking car, I think. But what they're starting to do now is with the Veloster N and the advent of their new performance brand is they're actually starting to, I don't know if we're gonna get a full N Elantra, kind of like we haven't seen a car like that in a while, but it'd almost be like it'd be more than an SI if they do the full N treatment like the Veloster, but it'd be kind of almost like a, you know, Honda Civic Type R, but a sedan, and kind of like a fast little sedan front wheel drive, which I don't think we've seen in a while. But it'd be that kind of thing. But they're doing a bunch of N line. The Elantra's supposed to get it, the treatment. The Sonata's going to. They're getting like a bigger turbo engine in it, which would be cool. So I think it might even get all wheel drive, which is also interesting.
Interesting.
Because I don't think.
I wonder how their all wheel drive system's going to be.
I don't know. I feel like they might just pull it from another car. I don't even know if it's going to keep it, because the previous like Elantra Sports or whatever didn't have it, and they were only like marginally more.
What if they made like a Focus RS sort of thing?
That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd go over the top. That'd be really cool actually, because
it'd probably be a Veloster type.
I know they're working. I mean, we talked about it a while ago. We haven't heard anything, but I know they're working on a mid-engine something or other. There's some chassis they've got testing. Yeah. And I know it uses some of their new engine stuff. They're using a Veloster body as a test platform, which realistically could mean anything. Either we're going to get like a Clio V6 like they had in the 90s, which we don't have in America, but we know about
amazing.
It. Played it in Gran Turismo. It was a very cool car.
Have like an MR2 kind of thing.
Yeah, or they're going to take on the MR2 because Toyota doesn't brought one out yet.
If they put that out, that'd be... I mean,
it makes a lot of power.
I'm not buying a new car, but once that car gets used, I would probably be so quick to pick it up.
Yeah, and I imagine they do really well because there's no one makes that. Exactly. I mean, we talked about that a long time ago before any of this. We were like, we should start a car company and try to make that.
God damn it. If I ever have that kind of capital, which is a lot, we need a lot of capital to start a car company. Like, it's super expensive, but that would be probably what I tried. Cheap mid-engined
Car. Like the original like MR2 and that whole thing, so we'll see how they do it.
Less or so to me, the Fiero was always like a step under, and then there's a Porsche 914, was that the one?
Yeah
that was always like I'd consider that over the Fiero.
Really?
The Fiero's like, but I don't know, it's just like the catching on fire thing. And they didn't look that pretty. Although they did look really good if you got the GT one.
Yeah, if you got the GT and if you put a newer engine in it, I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
One that doesn't, you know, catch fire.
Yeah.
You know the reason they caught fire? It's such a shitty reason. So the whole story in the Fiero is it's like, we want to make this car. Okay, well, it's going to have this, you know, you just take the K-frame from front drive car, move it back and pin it.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally what car manufacturers do. It's normally the easiest way to make a mid-engine car out of parts you already have.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot who it was. I don't remember who the guy in charge was, but it was just like, he goes, you know, we want to do this. And then, you know, of course, General Motors being the big company it was, especially in the 80s, not doing as well as they are now. Corona aside, they were kind of like, okay, well, you need to make it cheaper than what you're doing, you know, to produce and to design.
Yeah.
And they did. They, you know, credit where credit's due. They were able to, you know, make stuff out of like plastic and, you know, this kind of thing. But the reason it catches fire is I think it had an Iron Duke. It was all the base models that had issues.
Yeah.
Because they put the 2.8 in it eventually, the V6. But the problem was they took an Iron Duke, and the Iron Duke's a real tall iron block engine.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, we don't want to change the design of the car, so we'll put it lower in the car.
Okay.
Oh, well, how do we do that? We'll just make the oil pan smaller.
Okay.
Which means the whole engine is basically hotter.
Yeah.
And then just not really thinking of, like, plastic tubing in an enclosed space. okay. which gets brittle and gets hot because it's all, they, you know, they're trying to fit this engine that's kind of too big for the car into the car, even though it's, you know, they wouldn't make a, they wouldn't let them make a new engine. Basically, all that combined with some other stuff, I know I'm forgetting some other things, that's why they caught fire.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, which sucks, but anyway, hopefully Hyundai doesn't have that problem, you know, in the modern world and all that. But if they do, I don't know, if they make a supercar thing, that'd be impressive. I know it's only a four-cylinder, but I think it makes like 400 horsepower, I read somewhere.
What?
Yeah, it's some crazy shit like that, so...
Is it like a hybrid?
I don't know. It could be. They released a, like a render, I don't remember what it was called, this was a while ago, and it just looked really good. It was kind of like a mix of like a 911... like a bit of Elantra and just Hyundai's design kind of thrown over it. It was a really cool little mid-engine thing, kind of like if Audi or if Hyundai made like an Audi TT type of car. It was like that, but I don't remember what engine it was. It was supposed to be electric, I think. I don't know if that's actually going to come out or if it's just a, you know, design exercise.
You're talking about like making cars with existing parts, and I know I've talked to you about this. I don't think I've said it on the podcast. One of, I think, the most interesting stories, but also the most uninteresting stories about using like parts bin kind of philosophy like that.
Yeah.
The apparently it was in a lot more cars than the 300M, but it was apparently in the Concorde as well. But there is this transaxle transmission, and Chrysler was using this transaxle to longitudinally mount their front wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
And so there was like a I think it was usually a V6.
Yeah.
And it's mounted to this transaxle. It's an automatic transmission. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to be making this Plymouth Prowler. You remember
that? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so they're like, but that was a proper rear-wheel drive car.
Uh-huh.
And so they're like, we'll be, you know, fancy, but not really, because we're just reusing a part.
Chrysler
they put
in the 90s.
Transmission in the back.
Oh, wait, I've heard that. And they just put a fucking
it's
drive,
like, you know, like a 944 or like a...
GTR.
You know, GTR. Corvette. Yeah.
Name, any.
And so... front engine, rear drive, rear transmission configuration.
I like how both forward thinking and completely cheap that is.
I know.
It is and it isn't. Like, it's like, wow, but also, cool. It's like a four-speed auto, too.
I feel like, yeah, I know it
which
is.
Sucks.
It's just like a really lame
because the engine was decent, I think. If it had a better transmission, they'd do well.
Yeah, it's 3.5-liter V6. It's probably okay. 214 horsepower,
It just didn't weigh anything. I just know people are like, if this had a modern one, it'd be fine. Just because it's a Chrysler 4-speed auto in the 90s.
What do you think about the... Just, like, the looks of it. Not driving it. Thoughts?
My dad likes it.
Your dad? Okay.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I think they're hideous.
I want to like it, but the problem is, like, you look at it and you go, what the fuck is that? Well, also, the ass end of it.
What do they try to do... They're like, I think they try to make it look like a hot rod, kind of.
No, yeah, that's what, I mean, the PT Cruise is the same era. It was weird retro classic shit of like...
But God, it looks shit.
I just don't know who would go, and I think they were kind of expensive, too.
There is something.
Yeah, like, who goes like, that is what... Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There probably stirs something in the same sort of people who buy a Corvette, i.e. middle-aged white men.
Yeah,
but in the 90s.
Like, it's like, yeah, I want to have like a hot rod, but I don't want to make a hot rod.
Yes,
I'll just buy a modern one that looks like this. It looks like a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah, it is. And I remember driving that in Gran Turismo when I was like a child. And then my dad liked it.
Okay.
This is also a man who bought with money a Kia Soul. I hope he's listening as well. It would be great. I'll get a text in a week or something. Anyway, and he also thinks the Lexus LC is hideous.
Really?
Yes. He's like, ugh, gross.
It's elegant. Like,
maybe that's the problem. I don't know. He just doesn't like what I would consider good design. He also likes a Chevrolet HHR, which was GM's like Me Too PT Cruiser, but it was a Cobalt.
Yeah.
Likes a PT Cruiser.
That's weird to me.
Likes a Nissan Cube.
Like, in my mind,
I can see
like,
a trend.
It's like I get like why you would want retro design, because I mean, old stuff kind of looks cool. It's not like your normal thing. But I think just objectively, they're just ugly.
Yeah, no, that car's ugly. Retro design is one thing; doing it well is another thing. Like the Alpine A110, the new one.
I was just about to say, yeah.
That one looks great.
That was like they didn't copy it and then just like smooth it over and put
shit
in it. It's like it was inspired by the
It was kind of like when Ford, when the Mustang came back and they really took their time with it.
Yeah.
Around like 2005, when the one after the SN95, which I don't remember the name of it, S197 maybe, but when that one came out, it was like the retro GT. Okay, they haven't aged super well, mm-hmm. but it was also still the era of Ford being kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Nowadays, everything's changed. Like, it's very impressive, like, the stuff they've done.
Yeah.
But, like, that still looks okay, and you could still make it look good. And I think in its own right, it's a good-looking car.
In the era, it was definitely like, yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. Yeah. It's retro, but it's modern, but it's not actually retro. Not
and now the new Mustangs, I think, again, it's like that inspired design. They're just like,
yeah.
You can tell this is a Mustang. You know?
Exactly, and they just inspire it. Yeah, and the thing is, I like...
They're not just like copying it.
Yeah, directly. That's the thing.
But
the
thing is, you can also copy it completely an old car, and it's fine. Like the Ford GT.
Yes.
But that's just they just completely copied the exterior design.
But that works for some reason. It depends on how you
like,
do it.
It's like to the T. Like
it was also a very famous car.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, modern thing. But the thing is, the stuff they did to it, you know, like, the rear end looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a different car on the whole, but every little thing makes it modern and new, and it looks really nice. Oh, it's almost elegant. Yeah. The Ford GT. I know what you're talking
about. I'm talking about the older one?
The 2004 or 5
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about,
just
too.
Just making sure.
Because the thing is, it's like, I like that whole retro thing. My thing on car design is it's like, you can do anything, like I've said that before. You know, mm-hmm. why not make something beautiful, or, you know, let's try something new. Not just a three-box sedan, that kind of thing. But I think cars should evolve.
Okay.
Where it's like, I don't like retro design necessarily, because it's like, now it's better. The Alpine's the only one that I'm like, not sure how I feel on it. I think it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, could it also be a bit more modern without being so like, this is what it used to look like. It doesn't really bother me that much, but it's like...
Like, features like that, they might have, you know, they might have taken, like, one too many features from the old one. Because it's still got that, like, the crease down the center.
Yeah.
And it's still got, like, those circular headlamps
mm-hmm.
that are like, I'm like a rally car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and it's like, yeah. But it's also, like, it's such an endearing car. I don't know.
That one I like, though. It just...
It's pretty still.
I think it's also a difference where I've just realized, that car looks good. The Mustang looks good. So the Ford GT looks good. Those are based on real cars that looked good at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But everything Chrysler made, and all the stuff that,
just
like...
Based on,
it's
like,
just
in quotes, a hot ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's like, if you're copying something specific, then you can pull design characteristics from it. You can make it a modern version of it.
Yeah.
But whenever you're just copying, like, an idea, like, ooh, like, up in the air, it can only go wrong.
Air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes, like, just, hot rod.
Yeah.
And it kind of does. I don't think we're going to talk this long about the Prowler, to be honest, when you brought it up. But, yeah, my dad likes it. He also likes the HHR. And if you like the HHR, cool. I don't.
Prowler, I think, is very interesting.
Yes.
Like, dear God, I'd never own one.
No, I would not want to have one.
It's still disgusting. But I look at it, and I'm like, they were a little clever here. They were like, we'll just use this. And then twirl our mustache a little, you know, because it's job done. You know what I mean?
Daimler came in whenever they were one company. Mercedes was like, make something a bit interesting.
Yeah,
and then they
it
were
a
like,
sport, maybe like a rear transmission. And they're like, we'll get right on that.
They're like, we don't have any money.
And then they look at that transmission there that's supposed to go in their 300N. And then they're like, they just move to the back. And
go do car
for like the rest of the
they just took a lunch
like
break.
The
took a long lunch.
Yeah, just the transmission team is just like laying back, twirling their mustache and being like, "We're fancy."
Boss comes down. Have you finished it? I'm still working on it. on it. We'll get it. Don't worry. We'll have it ready by the time. Okay, you've only got 6 months to sort
I'm gonna
this
have
out.
To go in overtime tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go in overtime. I bet they made a lot of money out of that by just going and then quietly going, move it back, like draw a line 6 inches. Like,
and, I just imagine they like put it off because they're like, this will be so easy. And they just like, slap it in there like last week,
like literally, yeah, the week before they go, gets a presentation board out.
Ta-da.
What we've like, done is we've taken the transmission, you're not gonna believe it, we've moved it 6 feet back. Thank you very much. They go, what the fuck.
It's like, we already make that.
Yeah, or they try to spin
and
it.
Like, exactly.
We save the company money. They applaud themselves. They're like, yes. The people in the like stockholders room are just like, what the fuck? We should probably short sell these stocks before this thing comes up. That reminds me, okay, car design. That reminds me of another thing. I know BMW is doing some, let's call it interesting things recently.
Okay, yeah.
My favorite, though, is like, I'd probably mentioned this before. I don't remember who it was. I gotta find the photo because I want to repost it on our account. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who just took the grill from the X7 and just put it in the passenger seat of an E30 and just took all these photos with it, and then he just set it up against it, and then he just had a photo of like him holding it like as a friend, like as a person, because it's so big it like fits in the seat and takes up space. Anyway,
that'd be some good like wall art, like you just buy one and just put it up.
Well, I mean, I think it's even funnier because there's some gates at, I think it's in München, I think it's at their headquarters, but they're literally grills that open.
That's actually so funny.
And I was like, that's very BMW of them to do that. But anyway, they've started doing stuff where they'll flip the grills upside down, which it's kind of like a 1, 2, 3. It's a hexagon type. Is a hexagon? What?
Six sides?
Five. What's that? Trapezoid? Pentagon. Pentagram.
Pentagrams, that's a
that's
star.
A devil thing. It's got five sides only. Okay. You get the point.
Anyway, five sides.
I am college educated. Anyway, it's got five sides, and they were taking them and like flipping them upside down to change the shape of the grill to give them like some new stuff to work with. People were like, I don't like it. It's, I think, kind of works on the 8 series. The Grand Coupe looks better. I don't like the 8 series. It looks just like a Mustang. And I'm like, they're trying. They're trying different things, and I admire that, but I'm like, come get it together. They did, I mean, they set the trend years ago when they got Chris Bangle to come in here and do all these, like the 5 series and that 7 series with that massive ass trunk, and it was just all this stuff, and people were like, ugh, but then those cars still look good today because they kind of set a trend, and it's like, oh, I'll shut the fuck up. But anyway, maybe they're doing that again. However, they make a car called the X2. Mm-hmm. Now then, they make a car, I mean, for those of you who don't know, whatever, BMW, you know, it used to be 3, 5, 7 series sedans, that was it.
Yeah.
And then now they go 1 through 8. And then the X's used to be an X5, and then now it was X3 and X5, and now it's X1 through X7. I imagine there'll be an X8.
I forgot about this. I just saw it on the... I know, this is, I mean, it is very BMW related. I saw a four numbers, the 4 series.
Yes.
But it was the Grand Coupe one.
Yes.
With four doors.
Which is...
And
which,
I'm like, that's a 3 series! That's a 3 series. Stop it. If you're gonna be like, okay, now the 4 is the coupe and the 3 is the sedan, don't make the 4 also a sedan.
Yeah, I know.
I get it, like, slows back and it looks different.
It's a coupe in the modern sense, where a coupe is a car that... Yeah. I just like the BMW takes the Taco Bell approach to cars. We're just gonna use everything we have and just call it something else and use the same parts. Like, they go, we're gonna make a coupe of a 3 series, we're gonna call it 4 series. Then we're gonna make a 4-door of that, and we're gonna call it the 4 series. What?
Like, the 4 series Grand Coupe.
Yes, Grand Coupe, which means it just has 2 extra doors. Whatever. They're doing all kinds of shit now. But so with all those X numbers, they had an X1 that came out. It was like a cheap SUV.
Okay.
Or crossover, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it was based on, I think, 3 series parts to begin with. And, you know, they're like less expensive. They sometimes use partsman parts. I know one of them, I think, used like... Or one of the X3s, the same kind of thing. Sometimes it uses Z4 parts. You just see random shit thrown in there. But the X1 came out, was like a rear drive, 3 series based thing.
Okay.
And then they changed. So now, they've owned many for a while. And then what they did is, like, in Europe, they released... And if you're in Europe, you have this. If you're in the US, you may have never heard of it or seen it. It's called a 2 series active tourer. And the 2 series used to be a coupe of a 1 series because that was a hatchback. This is... I've just realized how much there is to this. It's fucking stupid.
I know. We need to get you a bulletin board. I know, with all the pins and, like, you drawing the little yarn.
You know
and
that
stuff?
Meme of the woman from that show where she's looking at, it's like, the math? That's how I feel right now.
And the 2 series is the coupe of the 1 series, and that's...
Or, like, in Sherlock, where he's, then, like, arranging his thoughts.
And then the 4 series, it's a coupe, but if you get the Grand Coupe, it still has 4 doors, and why didn't they call it a 3?
Oh, my God. Yeah, their numbering system's crazy. Anyway, but it's the same kind of thing. The even numbers are coupes of the odd numbers.
Yeah.
So they did the 2 series has been, up until recently, a rear drive car. Then what they did was they go, well, we're going to price the 3 series higher and make them more premium.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts at like 40K now. It used to be like 30. Yeah. It used to be like, if not even that long ago,
well,
it was
just
above
30. The 3
series
was supposed to be the compact executive. So
yes.
Like the smaller one for your... Like your average executive.
Yes, yeah, so you go. Like it's like the. It's that. I mean, it's one of those cars that I've noticed. It's like it seems to be a textbook. I've just always seen people talk about. They go, as soon as I get a job, out of my college after, you know, I finish my degree because I've earned it, I'm going to buy myself a 3 series. Like, it's a very common car, you know, that kind of thing. But it's 10 grand more now, roughly. I know it's like not quite that much, but they've priced it higher because what they're doing now is they're slotting in a 2 series Grand Coupe. Okay. And it's front drive, because they had in Europe, this is what I was saying earlier, they had like a tall, like people carrier, kind of like small compact thing that used many architecture, and it was a front drive thing. And mm-hmm. people were like, ew, what is this? And I was like, okay, they'll keep it small. But what they've done is they made a sedan of it, and it's coming here soon. They're all-wheel drive in the US. You can get a cheap manual front drive in the UK, and in Europe, I think it's like a three-cylinder. I think it'd be kind of an interesting thing, because minis handle really well, so we'll see. Yeah. I'm not totally down on the idea, but...
It's just very un-BMW.
It's very... Because I do remember they used to have ads. There was, like, a woman driving in her 5 Series with, like, her child in the back, and, like, some cars pull out, and there's about an accident to happen. She swerves out of the way, and she swerves back, and they're like, if you buy a BMW, it's safe because it handles well, because we let the front wheels do the steering. Yeah. It was, like, the tagline, and they're just so far removed from that. It's just... But, okay, yeah. I keep getting so far away from the point. The X cars, the SUVs, crossovers, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Now I'm getting annoyed at myself. X1 was this rear drive thing. They mm-hmm. didn't took that architecture and made it front drive. Okay. So it's just like every other crossover.
Yeah,
well. Fair enough. They then were like, we need a coupe version of this, like the X6 to the X5, the X4 to the X3, so you have to have an X2 to the X1.
I absolutely hate all of their coupe.
I know.
It's like a night sedan.
Mercedes does it too, and some of them are pig ugly.
Why?
Yeah, it's a status symbol. I get it as a status symbol. And the thing is, they've got an X7, and Audi just used to only go up to Q7, uh-huh. and then they got a Q8, which is a coupe. So I imagine that's coming down from BMW. I imagine it's in the pipeline somewhere.
I just, like...
And from Mercedes.
A coupe SUV, to me, just, like, it breaks,
Shit,
like,
Trailblazer.
What?
That's when they existed. That's what it was.
Yeah. It just, like, breaks what an SUV should be, you know? You should be able to carry things.
SUV
right?
doesn't
And then
mean
you
SUV
make a
anymore.
Coupe, and then it's...
Well, it's you've got... Well, no, actually, they call them SAVs, you know that?
What's that?
Sport activity vehicle, which means, or if
activity.
You wanted to call it, yeah, or if you want to call it an SUV, what is it? Sport utility vehicle. You could have a sport utility coupe. Call it the suck.
I like that one. Call them all.
That's what
sucks.
I'd refer to it as. But they have the X2. Speaking of suck, the X2, which is my beef here.
Uh-huh.
I have seen them on the road, and just Google it, because I don't know if you've seen it. Just BMW X2. It came out a few years ago,
Maybe?
And I think it went unnoticed because it was so boring. But the problem I have is they do this thing. This is kind of going on car design. We're a bit far off that. But the thing is they put these BMW logos in the C pillars or D pillars.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. Yeah.
Now, then, when I see that from BMW, which they don't do,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they've ever done. They might have done it on some cars like in the 60s. What that means to me is we've designed this car and it doesn't look enough like our brand that we have to put extra badging on it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen those cars and I have thought they were Buicks or Hyundais. And now, I'm
is
fairly car literate. Yeah, I just said a few. Call back to that.
No, it's actually a BMW somehow.
How did we get here? But it's just like, I don't know. It's like they. I know what they're trying to do. And I imagine they'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
But what the fuck are they doing?
I really don't like the BMW badges there. And it's not just on the X2, it's on like a few of their like coupe.
Oh, really? Is it because people don't know? I haven't seen it on the bigger
so.
Ones.
BMW X... The X4 is also one of those, right?
The X4 looks like a Beamer, though. The X4 is an X3, and the X3 is in everyone's mind enough that they go, yes. But the X2 just looks like a Hyundai Tucson.
Maybe it was just that one.
Or a... okay, I think they had it on, like, the M1. But, like, that makes sense. Or maybe they just had two badges.
Okay, maybe it was just on that one, because I can't find another image of it. But I do remember seeing one of those on the road, and seeing the badges on the sides. And I was like... Stop it.
Yeah.
Like,
get some help.
No, the company does this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not where the badges go, man. Take them
off.
It's
wrong.
Why?
It's wrong.
Just like, I just don't get it.
Dude, I don't know.
But I think you're right. I think they're like, well, they have to know it's a BMW. They just
can't
have
tell.
To know.
It just looks like a car.
Because I mean, they know a lot of people buy the BMWs for the status symbol, and so they're like, we gotta make sure they know.
Yeah.
You know, or other people. We gotta make sure that they know that other people will know. When they look at their BMW.
That it's a BMW
and
not
a
Buick.
Buick.
Is that you? Is that a Buick? No.
Oh,
well, we should make that commercial.
Oh my god, it's gone like
I think a friend of mine's sister just got one.
Or
it might have been an X1.
Fuck.
Full 180, yes. Full 360. Just keep going the same direction.
Actually, yeah, BMW do that. Just go back around and make good-looking cars like the E46 again.
We'll see what they come up with. But man, those fucking girls. All right, okay, let's move on to some better. We're still just in car news. This is just kind of like we're tired and we're just hot. We've got some excess fucking shit to go through. More news from Germany. I've spoken about it before. Volkswagen is coming out with a slew of electric vehicles.
Okay.
And apparently, because of all, VW's a huge company, it's just with all the stuff they're doing and putting into it, and GM, but like mostly VW, it looks like the Germans are slated to take over the electric car market in the same way they took over the, you know, normal car market in the world. But they have a ton coming out. Some of them are retro, some aren't. But they have one called the ID.3. I don't know what it's going to be called here in the US, but once it gets here. It's basically, it's an electric hatchback. It's kind of funky looking, you know, whatever. But it's same size as a Golf, maybe a bit bigger. Costs less, has more stuff, it's faster to make, all this, like, all the good things, like, everything's a plus, whatever that's called. I forgot what that's called when that happens. But anyway, SEAT, which is a Spanish company, but part of, it's, you know, it's one of Volkswagen's subsidiaries, they're taking that chassis, and they're making a sporty, like, a hot hatch version of it.
Cool.
And it's called, oh man, did I write down the name? It might be Cupra, they're trying to make
Elborn?
Is that what it's called? They have Kodiak, but it's what, like a Q? Or that might be Skoda.
I don't know.
Same kind of thing.
What, is this it?
Yeah.
That looks like a Fiesta.
It does look like a Fiesta. It's like the same chassis. But they had some other cool photos. It might not be this version of it, but they did have a Cupra, which is their kind of like GTI, I don't know what to call it, type of thing. And it looked really, it was like black and orange and all these like little lines and like big wheels. So it looks like there might, I don't know if we're going to get it here. They might get it in Mexico. I don't know if they're going to do one for VW. I imagine they're going to if SEAT's going to have it eventually, but that's kind of like the first hot hatch that's electric that I can think of. Full electric. Like, they have a GTE, which is a Golf that's got an electric motor in it.
How much power did the i3 make? Is that hot? It didn't look hot as a thing.
No, and its wheels were like bicycle tires.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no. Past the...
I can't think of anything.
No.
That's electric. It's a pretty new thing. I mean, you can consider it maybe if you wanted to...
I can't.
If you wanted as a stretch to say the Model 3 is, or the Model Y, which is the new one, which is a little bit taller, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a hot hatch, in the past, hot hatches are always front-wheel drive, and it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's different, which I think, I'm pretty sure that's going to be. It's just easier to make.
I think that's just like a hot, compact executive sedan.
It's basically a 3 Series.
Yeah, it's a 3
Series. Or a 4 Series. Or a Grand Coupe. Or a GT, depending on your outlook on life. Maybe an X3. X3M.
X3, yeah. Like the adhesive.
Yeah, like I'm no longer part of the 3M tape company. X3M.
Yeah,
there you go. So I bought myself a BMW.
X3.
As a gift to myself.
That'd be pretty funny.
That's really all I have for car news and stuff like that.
I looked up BMW side badges, and I saw this. And I'm like, oh yeah.
The Z3s had vents.
Yeah, they had like the side vent in the... That doesn't look. I don't know.
The Z cars have always had it though.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Z1 did. The Z1 was such a weird out there car.
I'd love one.
They're cool.
They're so cool.
They're really cool. And the thing is, I feel like I know they're collectible and that kind of thing, and they only made a handful. I don't know how many made it to the US, but I don't think, as far as collector cars go, I don't think they're crazy expensive.
Yeah. I mean,
the novelties, you've got to be in it for that.
Yeah. And I mean, gosh, that car is like all novelty.
Yeah, it's really parts bin stuff, and they were trying to out, like, it's...
It doesn't look like series. BMW at all.
No.
It looks like a...
It looks like a concept car.
It looks kind of like a Lotus or something, or like oh my gosh, what was that one wedge car that some British company made, and they had them here?
The Volkswagen body one? That thing with the weird canopy that came up? That's what I was thinking of. Headlights. What, the Triumph?
Oh, I think it's a Triumph.
Like a TR7. Yeah. It does have that. It's like a piece of cheese. Especially when in yellow. That car was cool, though. It did have the whole thing where... Welcome to the BMW podcast. But anyway, it had the whole thing where you could change the body panels. Because they're all composites, and you get different colors and stuff like that.
Did you... Have you seen the... Hold on. Before I say some really sus shit, let me just make sure that this is the name of this concept car. There's a BMW concept car. Oh my gosh, this is what it was called. I remember.
I know what you're talking. I know what you're gonna
say. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it the Gina?
The Gina. And the hood opened up like this, like a vagina, you know. And I remember looking at this concept car. This is back when I was like, I feel like getting into cars more.
Yeah.
And I was like, they really called it the Gina?
Yes.
Surely they know, like, they know the what they're making, right?
I'm medicating. yeah. That's actually okay. Weird.
And look at the doors. Do you remember how the doors? It would just crumple. Like wrinkle and shit.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of it.
No, actually, I really like this one.
It'd be cool if they took that out somewhere, but they didn't.
And the styling was really crazy too. It kind of looks like a muscle car. Yeah,
I remember you could put it in sport mode, and like a thing would like shove into the trunk. I don't know what lining. Yeah, I don't know what you would call it. Like make a spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. It was a cool thought. Yeah,
they've
it's
done
a
some. They've done some great stuff. Although BMW have a habit of making these great concept cars and they're just not putting them into production.
Yeah,
like the Batmobile, the original like 635 CSI, that racing one from like the 60s, 70s, I can't remember exactly, maybe even 80s. That one, they were like, wow, here's a new one, or a new version of the 2002, like these kind of like one-off cars. They go, look at this, would you like a Grand Coupe? Like, they just, it's ridiculous.
Would you get one of these?
What is it?
They're cheap. No?
Yeah, but they're ugly.
They're really TR7. Ugly, yeah.
Is that a hard top? Do they have hard tops?
I guess so.
Well, that's a very convincing hard top stick-on thing. I mean,
no,
I mean, is it a coupe or is it a convertible? I can't tell.
I think it's coupe.
Like that Honda.
I think it's so ugly that I almost kind of want one. They're really cheap.
Yeah, but you don't feel the same about the Prowler.
No, I don't.
Is that too ugly, or is it not ugly enough? Have you seen the back?
I think
end
I like
of a
certain type of ugly. Have I seen the back end of a Prowler?
Just look up an image.
Would I like to?
I just want to get your genuine reaction. Prowler, that might be a good way to end.
End. Chrysler Prowler.
Big yikes.
Oh. Well. It's just like a bubble. It's just like a. Just. I mean, it looks like the back of a Beetle.
It does. Which I think.
Or actually the front of a Beetle.
It was the final damning indictment of that car. It looks like a Beetle.
Oh, God.
Ooh, look at that hard top.
I think they. It looks like all of the rear bumpers have been taken off, but I just think that's how it looks. Gosh, this angle's especially bad.
I think we'll end up with that. Disgusting. The Prowler's gross.
Actually, I'll send you this one to post on the Instagram. It's, I mean,
ooh, baby.
It's like baby food color.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not gold.
No.
It's not yellow. It's gross.
God damn it. Chrysler. What will they do next? Actually,
well, maybe
they'll another one.
That'd be hilarious. Maybe they'll keep making the Dodge Challenger and Charger for another 20 years, because that's what they've been doing. That's all that's they're getting their money from.
Yeah.
I mean, we should solid, you know what we should do? We didn't do it this time. We need to do a Volvo podcast.
Yeah.
That might be coming. We'll probably do that. We'll try to do that next week, because we've got,
I'd love
like,
to prepare some stuff.
Yeah. We're both kind of like, we'll just leave it on this. Okay. Coming up, hopefully, if we remember correctly, is like some kind of Volvo podcast, which is not related to anything we've been talking about. Just thinking of like car companies in general. I was like, we should do a Chrysler podcast. No. That would just be bad. Because we go, look at all the shit they've fucked up. And
I just like, there's very few Chrysler products where I'm like, yeah, that was cool.
Like Neon. Neon.
I think the Charger is the only like I kind of like it. It's like
I do.
Yeah.
I don't like the Challenger as much. Although I've been in one and I've driven one. I drove it around a city and I've never stalled a car more than that.
Really?
I don't know why. I think it's just
so fucking heavy.
It's heavy. It has a 6.2. The gear shifter is like a sledgehammer when you put it into gear and like take it out of gear, and it's shaped like an umbrella handle.
What?
Like it curves in. And it's got this weird kind of feel to it. It's in a weird
Count
angle.
Dooku's lightsaber, if it were.
The whole car vibrates like crazy.
Really?
The shifter's just sitting there shaking. It's got that nice Hemi tick, which just means it's falling apart. You know, it's like, it's just, and that car only had 30k miles, but it was fun. They're crazy quick cars on that stuff. I understand the appeal.
Of course.
But I wouldn't want to own one. It's like, it's kind of like a Lion. Wow. But you don't want that, like, you don't want to deal with that every day. I just get a house cat.
Yeah. I just, like...
Buy yourself a Fiat. Treat yourself.
I'd consider buying a Charger just if I was going to do that conversion kit to make it into a Ute.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really cool.
Oh, the original one? Yeah. I'd do that, too, because they're cheap and it's a cool...
That'd be really cool.
Car. Yeah. I was thinking of, like, the newer ones.
I don't know.
I like the new ones.
I feel like the only way I'd buy a Chrysler. Or, actually... What the fuck am I saying? I'd totally buy a Viper in an instant.
Well, if they made them.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I joke about it. The one they just stopped producing, I think, is like the pinnacle of how good that car can get.
Yeah. And I mean, he got really fucking good.
Oh, yeah. It went from like, holy shit, and then they kind of were like, hey, a bit more corporate. Not a Viper, it's an SRT10.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, we'll put that engine into a Dodge truck. Fair. And then they were like, oh, by the way, we haven't made this in a few years, but here's a whole new like supercar that not a lot of people are going to notice, but when you see them you go, holy shit. We saw an ACR one.
Yeah, that like
someone was like dailying
that one, or like another like faster like racing version.
Yeah,
it put on some crazy lap at the Nürburgring.
Uh-huh.
You know, not like the top of the top, but it was competing with like supercars and shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is a supercar, but all these supercars that it's competing with, I think the biggest thing to me, they're all mid-engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have like a like dual clutch or like some other like fancy transmissions and stuff, like automatic.
Yeah.
You know, like
this is a V10,
flappy paddle.
It's naturally aspirated.
And it only comes in a manual.
Yeah, I know.
Six pound, like, yeah.
And then they do.
Well, how fucking. What, think the guy who put that lap on, how like big dick energy did it feel like? He's just like, all I need is a big fucking engine and a manual transmission, goddammit, and he'll beat
most
these
American
gosh
man.
Darn Lamborghinis.
Lamborghini machines.
Yeah.
It's also, like, very, doubly impressive because it's, yes, it's a supercar in its own right. I would absolutely say that. The thing is, it's like, it's from Chrysler.
Yeah.
Who has had more bankruptcies and upsets and been owned by more companies, whatever. And it's like, realistically, they don't have that much money going into this. They don't have the power of Ford or GM.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, we'll set a lap record. They've been making Corvettes nonstop for years. Mm-hmm. The GT, I don't think, was in production at that time, but you just go, that's pretty cool.
It's impressive.
And then
it's
they just really, they do that impressive thing where they go, here you go, and then they just leave, because they stopped making it already. Not a lot of people are buying it. They're very expensive, and you have to find a certain type of buyer.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of people who would probably want that kind of car.
Yeah.
Just because it's like if you took a Miata, made it like a little bigger and a lot bigger in the front to fit the giant engine, and then just like that's it. Just put the giant engine in there
and then the huge wheels and stuff. They're,
I mean,
two
seater
cool.
I'm sure they're like really loud and just like ridiculous cars.
And the original ones were, they weren't very, I mean, Chryslers haven't been well built ever.
Yeah,
but
it's
I imagine
not very user friendly.
No, yeah, you really have to be into it to want it. That's definitely the kind of car you would go, I need something comfortable to drive that isn't this every day. Yeah. Like,
I cannot do this every day.
That'd be great. Or they could just make, they should make another, no, I was going to say they should take a Viper, make a new one, and then put the Hellcat engine in it, but that's not right because it's not a V10.
No.
It's not the same. Yeah. No. It'd be different. It wouldn't be a Viper.
I like,
they could call that a Prowler if they did something interesting, but
I don't care if they make an electric Mustang, make a V6 Mustang, that's the only one, like a twin turbo V6 one. I don't care if they do any of that shit, but goddamn it, the Viper has to have a V10. I swear to God, that's what makes the Viper. It's
only
ever had a V10.
I think if it didn't, no one would buy it.
Yeah,
who gives
who
a shit?
Cares?
Who gives a shit?
Buy a Corvette.
It's such a novelty thing, and it's like 8.4 liters.
It's just astronomical.
It's like
huge.
A truck. Like, it's so huge. It's fucking crazy. All right, we're going to leave it on that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Dodge will make a new Viper. We'll figure it out.
Please
do. Thank you very much for listening. Again, follow us at The Uninteresting Cars on Instagram. We've started posting there. God, we're great at social media. And then, what else do we have? YouTube. Find us on there. Same name, The Uninteresting Car Show. We have some other videos coming still. Just random shit. It's mostly just automation videos. We don't have that much other content. We might be making other content, though, hopefully here in the future. That was a rambling podcast from us, but I hope you enjoyed it. This is just us talking, which is kind of the point of the show. Thank you very much for listening once again. I'm Jacob.
I'm David.
Goodbye.
Oh, my Volvo 142.
This week on the Uninteresting Car Show, we talk about we get copyright strike.
I have found that when I was editing the other one, I have a problem where I drink alcohol and the distance between me and the mic grows exponentially. So what I've done is lower the gain all the way. Like, yeah. Because by the end of it, the one ever we were just taking the shit out of Buick. Like, I had a bottle of wine or something that night, and, like, by the end of the recording, it was like, yeah, anyway, so, like, it was hilarious and all this
you
stuff.
You probably want to turn it around.
Wait, turn it.
At the back
of it. How's this? Keep it real. Cash money.
Fuck me, baby.
Stop.
Jacob thought it was funny.
I can't. I'm so out of it today. Oh, we were doing this.
Okay.
It's happening.
Alright, so we're back to our... No one cares about the setup.
Okay, hold on, wait. Before you start talking... Stop talking. today on the El Interestiente on the la escuela. That means school.
Are you? Is this
La Película?
That's movie. Are we going right now?
E.
Okay.